10 says, "The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And lots in the news today on this Monday morning. I saw where over 200 million people watched the Super Bowl last night between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, and it was an exciting game. It was came down to the wire, if you watch the game, where the Chiefs won by a field goal in the last seconds. Lots of people were talking about the penalty that was called, the holding, defensive holding penalty that was called in the last minute 40 or so. That would have really changed the game had they not called that. And that was a very minor, in my mind, a minor infraction. You just don't call that in that instance. It has to be a lot more flagrant than that, because that really decided the game. But it was an exciting game nonetheless. Hats off to KC and to all that they did this season. And I was rooting for Kansas City. Personally, I didn't really have any feelings one way or the other, but I really like Jalen Hurts. I like his testimony. I thought he played a great game. And so disappointed for him. I think if they had given him the ball back with a minute 40 to go, it would have been perhaps a different story. But people are talking about the Super Bowl. They're talking about what's going on with the Chinese spy balloons. You know, I think we've, if my count is correct, there have been four that have been shot down, and people are saying, well, these new ones are not spy balloons, they're UFOs, and, you know, that all gets going in people's minds that, you know, aliens from outer space. The Bible says nothing about that. God created this universe with all these planets. I still remember a story where a student was asking a professor, "Do you think there's life on other planets?" And the professor said, "No, I really don't." And he said, "Well, then why do you think God went to so much trouble to make all these other planets?" And the professor said, "That was no trouble for God. God spoke and it was done." And so the Bible just gives us information about planet Earth. That's where life is. And God didn't create other people on other planets. He created two people, Adam, and from Adam's side, Eve. And every person comes from them. The reason Adam named Eve Eve is because he knew she was going to be the mother of all living. So we know that they're not UFOs. They may be coming from China, but they're not UFOs. But people are concerned about that. And then there was a big train derailment on Friday in East Palestine, Ohio, and with chemicals being the huge explosion. If you've seen the pictures, that's not getting a lot of play, and it's not getting a lot of discussion. I contacted my friend, Dr. Rich Halcombe, this morning. He lives in Columbus, Ohio, is about 2.5 hours away from where this train exploded. Five rail cars carrying these chemicals that blew up. And he said, yeah, it's a serious, serious thing, because those chemicals that blew, that poses a serious health risk. And so he sent me a TikTok video from a guy named Nick Drombowski, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, who's a degreed engineer and studies train crashes and chemicals, especially with chemical spills. This is what he had to say, and I think it is very fascinating.
Hasn't been getting a lot of coverage, and the coverage that it has been getting hasn't been very good. So let's talk about the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. East Palestine's about an hour north of Pittsburgh, almost halfway to Cleveland. Norfolk Southern has a rail line that goes right through town, and this derailment happened right on the edge outside of town on the border of PA and Ohio. Of the cars that crashed, five of them contained vinyl chloride. It's a monomer used to make PVC. Some of the reporting on this has gotten vinyl chloride confused with polyvinyl chloride, the polymer made out of vinyl chloride. Now, the reason that this distinction is really important is vinyl chloride is very hazardous and very flammable. Polyvinyl chloride is a plastic that's used in like everything. The other thing about vinyl chloride is that it boils at 8 degrees Fahrenheit, so it's shipped in its liquid form. Meaning that when these trains crashed and these started leaking, they weren't just leaking liquid, but they were spewing boiling gas. So vinyl chloride is really toxic. OSHA has the permissible limit of how much you can be exposed to it during an 8-hour shift as a 1 ppm part per million. Average over 8 hours. So prior to this, the biggest spill of this chemical was in New Jersey, where one train car and about 23,000 gallons of vinyl chloride were spilled, but it didn't catch on fire. Now, this crash in Ohio has 5 train cars. These kinds of tanker cars can carry between 25 and 33,000 gallons. Let's call it 250 to 250,000 pounds of vinyl chloride. That's per train car, 5 train cars. There's maybe 1 million pounds of this toxic chemical spilling into the ground and also boiling off into the air. But then it caught on fire. I think this is where the reporting is really bad, because no one is mentioning what the byproduct of vinyl chloride burning is. Of the many byproducts of burning vinyl chloride, one of them is hydrogen chloride. Hydrogen chloride is really unstable and latches onto water, like just water vapor in the atmosphere, and that turns into hydrochloric acid. So right now, government officials, officials from the railroad, both the governor of Pennsylvania and Ohio are calling burning off the 1 million pounds of this stuff a success, but not mentioning that it means that we have hundreds of thousands of pounds of acid in the air, potentially. Now, ever since engineering school, I've studied a lot of industrial accidents. I just find it really fascinating, and organizations like the Chemical Safety Board, NTSB, and OSHA all have like really good reports available to the public. I think as a designer, it's really good to learn about mistakes. When looking at these kinds of industrial disasters across time, there are a couple things that are pretty universal across all of them. One, the responsible party, in this case, Norfolk Southern Railway, always plays down the reality of the situation. Politicians also just repeat the same lines, and then news outlets just repeat the same. So all we're hearing is the responsible party's word.
So that was from Nick Drombowski as he was talking about what happened there in Northeast Pennsylvania with that train derailment and the explosion of those 5 cars carrying that chemical. Obviously, if you live around there, you are extremely concerned. And on Twitter, they were saying that some reporters were being arrested for asking questions and trying to do their job. You know, when you look around at what's going on in America today, you can easily get afraid. And, you know, you couple that with the explosions at food processing plants and chicken plants burning down and planes flying into meat processing plants. You know, the things that are said by the global elites, that we have too many people living on planet Earth, and we need to thin out the herd. You know, it's not really veiled anymore. It's just kind of out there. And so how are they going to try and do that? Well, we know the COVID vaccine that so many people have gotten is causing people to drop dead, and that obviously is downplayed, and you know, Pfizer's going to do a study, no doubt, and say, well, it has nothing to do with the vaccine. Hey, we live in a world and we're swimming in a cesspool of lies, and it is very important in today's environment that Christians pull their head out of the sand and really seek the Lord for wisdom, so we know what's going on and how we should respond to it. Like the sons of Issachar, they knew what Israel should do. They understood the times and what Israel should do. Now, we started off the program with Psalm 29, verse 10. The Lord sat as king at the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. And our king is in charge. And the king of the universe for the Christian is our Father, who loves us, who is a good God, As Jesus said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God cares about us. God loves us. He tells us to Psalm 46 verse 10, cease striving, let go, relax, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. And so as a Christian, as we have said on this program, quoted Adrian Rogers, we don't have to go around with headline hysteria saying, oh no, what is the world coming to? We can look up and be watchful and say, praise the Lord, it's getting gloriously dark. Our Savior is coming soon. He told us in the last days, difficult times will come. I woke up this morning, I was thinking about a lot of these things, and I started talking to my wife about it. And she said, this is far too early for me to engage you in this kind of discussion, because it makes her very uncomfortable, it makes her afraid, and so she doesn't like to think about these things. But they're important to think about. And just like when we talk about the COVID vaccine, so many people, they immediately turn off because they're like, hey, I got that vaccine, and if there's something wrong with it, I don't want to know about it because ignorance is bliss, and I can't do anything about it anyway, so don't tell me anything about it. I get that. There's a lot of fear going on, but see, for a Christian, we don't have to live in fear. We can live and walk by faith and not by sight. That's a command in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's how a Christian is supposed to live. That's how a Christian is supposed to operate. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we just know that God is in control. But there are lots of things taking place right now in America. Not trying to be disrespectful, but the President of the United States is not all there. He really is not leading the country. Somebody else is leading the country, and he's just the puppet. He's the figurehead. And as I watched one pastor say yesterday, I was watching his sermon from last week. He was talking about the Chinese spy balloons. He said, you know, China, the leadership in China is not comprised of a bunch of idiots. They know what's going on in America. They know how weak the leadership is in here, in America right now. And he said, if they were ever going to make a move on America, well, now would be the time to do it. Our military is much more concerned about pronouns than they are about protecting our country, or so it seems. Now would be the time for the enemy to attack, and we're not aware. You know, we've talked on this program from Ezekiel 33 about the watchman on the wall. Well, you know, Israel knew about, hey, on the city wall, you have to have watchmen, you have to have guards, you have to have people that are looking out to see, is the enemy coming? Do we need to gear up for battle? And that's true in a physical sense. That's also true in a spiritual sense. So every Christian is a watchman on the wall. As the Lord said to Ezekiel, I have appointed you a watchman on the wall. Pastors keep watch over the souls of their flocks. And Christians in general, we are to be the Lord's ambassadors, the Lord's witnesses, and we need to sound the alarm when we see the enemy coming, spiritually and physically. And As we have been following the earthquakes in Turkey and the 29,000 or so people who lost their lives, that just came boom like that. And there wasn't time to prepare. And I think what we are seeing taking place right now is a call that we have to get prepared. You can't rely on time to get prepared when the judgment falls. You have to be prepared. You have to live in readiness. You have to get your life right with God while the sun is shining, because the storm and the flood is coming, and then it is too late. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are up against a break, but we will be back, and we're going to take your calls starting in the second segment. Call in. Let's talk about the things going on in America and how we can prepare ourselves as believers.
In this new world, on this new day, we rejoice that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Preborn has been preparing for this moment for the past 16 years by positioning their clinics in the top 6 abortion states where 50% of abortions occur. Sadly, 5 of these 6 states will continue to abort babies at an even greater level. And since the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of abortions, babies are even more at risk. Preborn pregnancy clinics are completely dependent on you as they offer life-saving ultrasounds and the life-saving gospel to moms and babies in crisis.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com or dial #250 and say the keyword baby.
Learn University.
That wasn't stereo right there, fellas.
That's jumbled.
We were struggling.
The bumblebee was called the humblebee. Is that true?
Chicken legs are also called drumsticks.
Yeah, that's not a good ice cream flavor. They've got some little tiny saddles that they put on those dragons. Unfortunately, you can only ride them once
because then they turn around and take your leg off.
Hey, Andrew, you want to ask
it? I'm so excited about getting on. I missed my exit.
Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
What is love? Many have written poetry and songs about it, but few are able to answer that question. I'm Charles Morris. All week, join me, won't you, for Haven Today. We'll turn to the Bible's most quoted chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13, a series called Love by the Book.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah, I called and right away Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. I told our church yesterday I had thanked them for the 20th anniversary that we had the week before, and they were so gracious to Debbie and me and so encouraging on our 20th anniversary. And I said, you know, we came from Houston 20 years ago, and I said, as our world gets crazier and crazier, I am so glad I live in Texarkana, Texas. We are not immune from trouble, and some publication had us as a dangerous city to live. I have not found that to be true, but I will say, living in Houston, you have to be very careful where you live and where you go. Bigger cities tend to have a lot more crime. I had some friends visit yesterday in our service from Memphis, Tennessee, and they were saying that they really have to be careful where they go because of crime and all the pushback against the police. But living in a small town, it tends to be a little more isolated from some of the cesspool of sin that we're seeing in the bigger cities. And so it is nice to raise your family in a place that is relatively safe compared to the bigger cities. So we were talking in the first segment about what's going on in our world, and it's not good, and we can get lulled into this false sense of security, and we can forget that this is my Father's world, as the song says. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24, and all it contains. And God is a God who is holy, holy, holy. He is too pure to look upon sin with approval. And so he is going to judge sin. How do we know? Because when his son took on the sin of the world, the Father judged the Son, and fellowship in the Trinity was broken as Jesus cried out and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because God is too pure to look upon sin, and God will judge sin, even when that sin is in his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and on his own Son. And so what is going on in our nation, we are going to face judgment. And I don't know when that is coming. We're seeing, you know, Romans 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. We're seeing that take place. We see the wrath that comes that's just built into sin. Galatians 6, you reap what you sow. But the cataclysmic wrath that comes from God, that came during the days of Noah, that came on Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, the cities of the plain, is that going to fall on America? Well, I think it is. And here's what the scripture says when Judah, the nation of Judah and Jerusalem, was captured and burned. It says this, all the officials of the priests and the people were very unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they defiled the house of the Lord, which he had sanctified in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God. We have that today. Despised his words and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, that is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them all into his hand, all the articles of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and of his officers, he brought them all to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burned all its fortified buildings with fire and destroyed all its valuable articles. Those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. All the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. The people of Judah said, well, no way is God going to let the enemy, the pagan enemy, come in here and destroy his people and destroy his temple that Solomon had built. No way will that happen. And the false prophets kept telling him, that won't happen. God is a God of love, and that would never happen. God would never do that. God told him he would do that. If you forsake me, this is what happens. You read in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, where Moses told the people, hey, if you follow the Lord, you will be blessed, and the blessings of God will chase you down. But if you don't, if you choose to follow other gods, then the curses from the Lord will come upon the land, and you will experience the rightful judgment of God because you have committed high treason against heaven's king, and you have rebelled against him. And we know enough to know that when a good king is enthroned, and the subjects go against the king and commit treason against the king, well, the penalty for that is death, imprisonment, or most often death. Well, the Lord is the king. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he doesn't want to bring judgment, but he will bring judgment if we continue to blow off his warnings. So that is the world in which we live today. That is the nation in which we live today. And getting back to the Super Bowl, so you know, many people watch the Super Bowl not so much for the game, but they watch it for the halftime show. They like to see what's going on musically. I'm not a super musical person. I don't know a lot about Rihanna. I couldn't understand anything she said, and she sang. I didn't know any of the songs. I didn't know why she was encompassed by all guys that looked like the Michelin Man. It was just crazy to me. I was like, that is not entertainment at all. That's not something that I want to see. The commercials, I didn't get jazzed about any of them. A lot of people are talking about the He Gets Us campaign that was funded by the Green family, Hobby Lobby. $20 million was reported that they spent on commercials. And I don't know, it was two or three or whatever it was that they aired, and it's the He Gets Us campaign. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, this is so great. We have a Christian witness. He gets us. And then other people are saying, this is the worst thing ever, because the He Gets Us folks are not representing the true Jesus. As Paul said to the Corinthians, you've accepted these people that have come in, these false teachers, and they're preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached. We need to be careful when somebody gets up and preaches Jesus, quote unquote. Are they preaching the Jesus of the Bible or the Jesus of their own imagination? I tell my church all the time, the Lord is not who you want him to be. He is who he is. He said to Moses at the burning bush, I am who I am. And we have the description from the lips of God about himself, who he is. When he passed by, Moses wanted to see his glory. Exodus 34, such an important passage of Scripture. It is repeated throughout Scripture about the character and the nature of God. And as the Lord had Moses there, you know, Moses said, please show me your glory. He said, I'll show you the edges of my glory. I'll show you the backside of my glory. No one can see my face and live. It's like looking into the face of a billion blazing suns. It would just melt your face, kind of like that was depicted in the movie with Harrison Ford when he was looking for the Ark of the Covenant, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Those guys looked in the Ark and their faces melted. So here's what the Lord says about himself as he hides Moses in the cleft of the rock and covers him with his hand. Then the Lord passed by, Exodus 34:6, by in front of him and proclaimed, this is who God is, the Lord God. He's the only one. Yahweh, Yahweh, Elohim. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. I mean, he's covering all our sins from A to Z. He doesn't just say who forgives sins, who forgives iniquity, the twistedness of our sin, the perversion of our sin, transgression, crossing the line, and sin, just a general catch-all term for sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Here is the holiness of God, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Moses, when he heard that and had his experience with the Lord, made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. Now, Exodus 34, 6 and 7 is repeated throughout Scripture. That's what Jonah says to the Lord. When Jonah gets mad because God didn't destroy the Ninevites, he said, is this not what I said while I was in my own country, Lord, when you called me to go to Nineveh? Because I knew that you were compassionate and gracious. And that little piece of who God is, his character, that's repeated throughout the Old Testament, because God is a God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. And he keeps loving kindness for thousands. As my Old Testament seminary professor said, God is skewed to the good because he keeps loving kindness for thousands, Yet he visits the iniquity, the twistedness of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. That doesn't mean he punishes children and grandchildren for the father's sins. That means the twistedness and the perversion of the father is passed on to those kids. Abraham had trouble with lying. Isaac had trouble with lying. Then he has Jacob, who has major, major trouble with lying. And so we see the iniquity, the twistedness pass on from father to son to grandson. And then the boys end up, in Jacob's life, they end up deceiving him as it pertained to Joseph, saying, you know, your son has been killed. And, you know, they did a number on dad with their deception. So that's what we see. God is not who we want him to be. He is who he is. And so the He Gets Us campaign, well, no doubt God knows all about us. The big question is not, does he get us? The big question is, do we get him? Do we get him? Do we know who he is? He is the Lord Jesus, the God-man. As much God as though we were not man at all, as much man as though we were not God at all. What he came to do, he came to give his life a ransom for many. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he did all these miracles. But his main purpose in coming was to seek and to save that which was lost and to give his life a ransom for many, to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again from the dead. So do we get him, who he is, what he came to do? How do we come to know him? We come to know him through repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you see somebody talking about Jesus in today's world, especially, you have to wonder, okay, are you talking about the true biblical Jesus, and are you telling people the truth about who he is, what he came to do, and how a person comes to know him? And without those three things, that campaign falls flat. And there are major, major questions and doubts in my mind about that organization based on some people I trust who have called in and asked them questions concerning sin and righteousness, and their answers were unsatisfactory, to say the least. So that is a concern for sure. Well, we want to open up the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about some of these things. We don't need to live, as I said earlier, definitely as children of God, we don't need to live in fear, but we don't need to live in ignorance either. And we need to know that judgment is coming. We don't know when. It may not come in our lifetime, the cataclysmic judgment, but it is definitely coming. I was talking to my friend, Dr. Rich Halcom, this morning, who lives in Columbus, Ohio. He's been on the program before, a ministry leader and an author. And we were talking about the fact that, you know, America is not mentioned in the book of the Revelation. And people have wondered for many many decades, why is America the most powerful nation on the earth? Why is America not mentioned in Scripture? And could it be that we don't exist? We get taken over. We see this coming to full light as we don't seem to have, as a nation, we don't seem to have a will to protect our borders. We don't seem to have a good handle on reality. We are so woke that we have we've fallen asleep, so to speak. And it's just it's sad to see it, because not everybody is like that. And here's the good news: as Erwin Lutzer, who was a guest on the program some months ago, as he said, we still have a lot of believers in America. And if God was going to save Sodom and Gomorrah and withhold his judgment, if he could find 10 righteous people, well, we have way more than 10 righteous people. And so we need to keep praying. We need to keep calling on the Lord. We need to keep watching on the wall, being a faithful watchman on the wall. And we need to warn people to flee from the wrath that is to come. That's our job as a witness, a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Phone lines are open. When we get back, 888-589-8840. Call in and let's talk.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we have the phone lines open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840, as we're talking about the issues in the last few days, what's been going on in America, and how God is trying to get our attention, just as he says in 2 Chronicles 36, that the Lord sent a word to the people again and again and again through his prophets to warn them and to call them to repentance and to call them back to the Lord, but they rejected, and they said, no, and we're not going that way, and they believed a lie, and until there was no remedy, and God brought judgment. And so I believe we're living in those days, and I believe one of my big jobs from the Lord is to warn people, to be a faithful watchman on the wall. And I think that's true for every Christian. We're to shine and share, and we're to be his witnesses and let people know that the Lord is coming soon, and we need to get ready, because when he comes, there's no time to get ready. You have to be ready. Now is the time to get your heart ready, not then. And so we have Ann on the line from Arkansas. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I've been watching that He Gets Us campaign, and I heard they spent even more than that. I'm not saying Hobby Lobby. I don't know if they were in with somebody else, too, but the amount that was quoted was $100 million.
Wow.
Anyway, and I just wanted to say that so often Christians just hear somebody's Christian, and that's enough for them. They don't know any more about, you know, where their Christian, you know, what their real beliefs right. are. And you can't sometimes, but I will say in the Chick-fil-A thing that a lot of Christians supported them, and then it came out later that they had been supporting some groups all along that were things Christians shouldn't support. And so, people that are very, well, they look into these things that are on Christian radio talked about that. So anyway, it's kind of the same thing as people who have their kids in public school. Well, their teacher's a Christian, so, you know, everything's okay. So anyway, that's all.
Right, right. A good word, Ann. Yeah, we need to do our homework. And, maybe 30, 40 years ago, we could be pretty confident that churches, especially, you know, if they're Southern Baptist churches, well, we all believe the same thing. We're all going to be preaching. Some churches are going to be more in tune with God than others. But if we're preaching the same truth, then you can you feel confident if you go to a Southern Baptist church that, you know, you're going to hear the truth. It's not that way anymore. You have to do your homework, and you have to know what's going on at the schools, and what are you listening to? Where is this person coming from? So he gets us. Well, we can think, hey, that's Christian, that's wonderful. But you have to dig a little deeper and find out those questions. Well, he gets us. Okay, do we get him? Who he is, what he came to do, and how we come to know him? I think those are critical questions, because as Paul said, the false teachers that came into Corinth, they're preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached. And in Galatians 1, if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Let him be anathema. Let him go to hell. That's how serious that charge is. So thank you for calling in, Ann. We have Wesley from Pennsylvania. Wesley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
Good morning.
John 9:31 says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." There's people that don't respond to God until tragedy happens. And I know God's all knowing, but I don't read that he's all hearing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know back in Deuteronomy 1, when they spied out the land, they had unbelief and they disobeyed God, and it said that he would not hearken unto their cry.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalms 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." And Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? I lead Wednesday night Bible study, and we've been discussing this.
Yeah.
And I know some people say, yeah, God does hear everything, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good question, Wesley. I think God hears from the standpoint of he knows that's going on. But as far as hearing with an open ear to that, that's the difference. So Isaiah 59, as you were talking, that's the verse that jumped into my mind. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear." So God can hear, "but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you," so that he does not hear. He will not hear in terms of hearing to answer in response to that. And so I think that that you're exactly right. So if I have wickedness in my heart and I'm not willing to turn from that and repent and get that right with the Lord, well, then my walk with him stops at that point. I mean, it doesn't mean I lose my salvation, but it means I lose my fellowship with him. And until I get things right, my prayers aren't going to be answered, and God's not going to be hearing me, and His Spirit is not going to be flowing in me, and the you know, abide in me, John 15. So I'm the vine, you're the branches, and as we abide in the Lord, then His life-giving sap through His Spirit is flowing through us, and God is using us in great ways. But if we're not abiding in Him, then He can't do that. And so here's what I think, because Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 is an unbeliever who is praying to God, but he's praying from a heart that wants to know God. And there's a sincerity there. There's a desire for the Lord that obviously God had been stirring in his heart. But the Lord says, "And you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29:13. And so Cornelius did that, and he was praying, and it says, "Cornelius, your prayers have been answered." And then Peter came to him and preached the gospel to him, and he was saved along with his household. So I think it has to do with your heart, and if you have regard for sin, then the Lord is not going to hear that. But if you have a desire to know Him and to be saved and to be delivered, God does listen to that, and God does respond to that. So great question, Wesley. God bless you, my brother. Thanks for calling in. We have Hartwell from Louisiana on the line. Hartwell, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I am concerned about our Christian nation being destroyed. I have talked with people, encouraging them to get involved, with no success. Are these people displeasing God?
Give me a little more information on that.
Well, I see our nation like being destroyed. We're losing our Christianity. And right. I talked with many people. I've been talking with people for 29 years now concerning the destruction of America, our Christian right. nation. And I'm talking with the deaf ears.
They don't want to get involved. Right, right. Well, I think it's one of those. Yeah, I think, Hartwell, it's kind of like I said earlier in the program. It's people don't know what to do with that, so they're like, that's just going to make me afraid, so I'd rather just bury my head in the sand. And not everybody's doing that, but a lot of people are just like, well, I can't do anything about it, so I don't even want to go there in my mind. But we need to go there. We need to be aware of what's going on, and you're exactly right. Christianity is being poisoned. The stream of Christianity, the purity of Christianity is being poisoned by the enemy. And as I have shared with the church and shared on this program before, it's the aviation 1-in-60 rule. 1 degree off of a flight plan, for every 60 miles you travel, you're going to be a mile off course. And so the devil introduces just slight variations, a little bit of poison to the truth, just a drop or two of arsenic in the medicine, and you know, it's no big deal. It is a big deal, and you don't notice it as much right at the beginning, but the longer you travel, the more you notice. So Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham, he has been saying for a long time, you know, when the intellectual Christians, intellectual quote-unquote Christians, bailed out on the historicity of Genesis 1 through 11 and said, well, yeah, there can be the gap theory, and maybe God did create it through evolution, and so that way we can have a seat at the academic table and they don't just throw us out for being a bunch of rubes that we believe God created everything in 6 24-hour days. Well, that's exactly what the scripture teaches. That's how he did it. And there were just two people. Adam and Eve aren't a race of people. They're just two people. But people don't want to believe that. And what Ken Ham says, okay, once you start caving in on one portion of scripture and say, well, what does it matter anyway? It does matter, because it matters how you view the rest of the Bible. Adrian Rogers said one time, hey, if Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, is a myth, then John chapter 3, you must be born again, is a farce. Why do I need to be born again? Well, you need to be born again because of the fall of man, Genesis 3. The Bible all fits together, and if you start throwing stuff out and say, well, I don't believe that, it's not a cafeteria where you take what you want and leave the rest. The Bible is truth from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, and we dare not start saying, well, I know more than God, and I'm going to determine what's true and what's not. And so you're exactly right, Hartwell. I mean, we're in a battle right now for the souls of men, and we need to know the truth and stand in the truth. Jesus prayed his great high priestly prayer, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so as we swim in a cesspool of lies in our country and in our world today, and who can we trust? The government, big liars, big pharma, big liars, government entities, big liars. We have to find the truth in Scripture and stand upon the truth and walk in the truth. That's for us. We have to make sure we're walking in the light as He Himself is in the light. And when God's people get right, as we're hopefully seeing that's genuine and true at Asbury University in Kentucky, where there's a revival taking place, we want to see that break out and spread throughout America. And it begins with God's people. So, Hartwell, that's on you and me and other believers to really walk in the light, stand in the truth, and speak up, speak the truth in love, because you're exactly right. We're going to lose everything if we don't. Well, we have Deborah on the line from Texas. Deborah, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm very nervous. I don't ever call and talk to radios, but my heart is feeling very a little bit heavy, and I wanted to ask you about in Scripture when it says that family will turn on family, and I'm kind of experiencing that with two members of my family, my siblings. 2 years ago, I'm glad that you mentioned born again, because 2 years ago here in my bedroom, I was born again. I called it changed because I felt I had this complete change come about me, and it was a miracle. And I had to learn that it was by the grace of God, and then through the Holy Spirit into Jesus Christ, I was taken, and I was changed, and I was rescued. And during that time, a lot of the churches, you know, were still COVID closed, and so I found a Pastor MacArthur, who I never knew, Pastor MacArthur in California, and I watched his online sermons, and I was kind of attacked about that by my family, because I knew I had been born again, I knew I had changed, but then I was called a Calvinist, and I thought, well, I don't even know what that is, because this was just 2 years ago, and so now I'm just being really attacked, because I know that I've been born again. I know that I've been saved, and I have never questioned my siblings, but I think my siblings are mad at me, and I don't like to use the word attacking, but I feel like that they're going after me for that I've been saved.
Mm-hmm. Well, that can happen for sure, Deborah, because you can make them uncomfortable. That I dealt with that with my own family when I became a Christian, and I was very zealous for the Lord and wanted them to come to know the Lord, and so I would witness to them, and that made them uncomfortable. And so I think family are the hardest to reach, and family know you the best. They grew up with you, and so they can poke holes in your life because they know your weaknesses and they know your failures. And so it's hard with family. So the two words we use on our program a lot, shine and share. Hey, shine for Christ. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, and share. And with family, you share, let them know what happened to you, and then you leave that. Don't keep sharing unless they ask you, because they will feel like that you're cramming something down their throat, and they don't do well with that. So I'll pray for you, Deborah, that God would just give you wisdom. Thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Sorry for the calls that we didn't get to, but go out, shine and share, and let God use you this day. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.